Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
You're listening to Escape Adulthood with Kim and Jason. This is show number 37. On today's show, we interview Toby Sells, who runs his own creature makeup effects shop and makes creatures and gore effects for film and television. We also talk about the World Series, baby showers, and embarrassing teenagers.
Take me back to when I was a child, when everything was good enough, it was good enough for the wild. Coyote sleeps in the moonlight, rabbit goes by the day, snake winds around on a hot afternoon, and eagle flies on his way. Take me back now if you can. Take me back now to the land where the people sleep in the moonlight, the children run in the daylight, and that feeling never dies, but it may go away for a while.
This is the Escape Adulthood Show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. This is Jason with my wife Kim, saying hi from Studio 315 in Madison, Wisconsin. You can get in touch with us by sending an email to podcast@kimandjason.com or by giving us a call at the Club K&J member hotline, 608-554-0803.
Hola.
Well, we have baby showers are done. Talk about that a little bit later.
Yep.
I'm excited about this show today, to say, with this interview we have coming up.
Yeah, it's awesome.
This is going to rock. I love Halloween, just like this time of year to begin with, and it always gives you an opportunity to be kind of creative with the guests that we bring in. So
last year we had Mr. Halloween.
Yes.
That was one of our top rated shows of all time.
Yep.
And, you know, anyone who has Halloween related tattoos has just got to be cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But also as cool as anyone who knows how to make, you know, severed heads, bullet wounds,
big
zombies. This is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That we're going to be talking to this guy who's an expert at this stuff, so I'm totally pumped. And so let's just get right into the show.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, you should never, never doubt what nobody is sure about.
So I thought this mind-bender, we could talk a little bit about the World Series.
This is right up my alley.
Yeah, well, you know, as some people out there know, I am a big Cubs fan, and they let me down yet again this year. Let another golden opportunity slip through the...
The 100-year anniversary.
Yeah, I really felt good about this year. I really thought this was, you know, everything was moving right, the 100-year thing... Best record in the National League. I didn't get my hopes up, but I had a feeling that it was like this was it.
Pretty so, close to hopes up.
Yeah. But yeah. So again, they disappointed yet again. But the mind-bender, okay, on the extreme of the example, Cubs haven't won a World Series since 1908.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
It was a long time ago. The New York Yankees, most people probably know, have won the most World Series titles with 26.
Wow.
The question is, what team is number two?
Oh, man. What team is number two?
I'm going to give you half points if you at least get the right sport.
I know. This is so not fair. I want to say...
This is dead time on the radio. This is great. Treat for the listeners.
What are the teams in California? Can you tell me those?
The Los Angeles Dodgers.
Okay.
California Angels. Okay. Also the LA Angels now. Oakland A's. San Francisco Giants. San Diego Padres.
I'm going to say the San Francisco Giants.
Okay.
That's, I don't know why, but I just have a feeling that that's the way I want to go.
All right. Well, we'll see. we'll reveal the answer at the end of the show.
There's something I have to ask you. May I ask you a question?
That is a question. Would you like to ask me another one?
Toby Sells grew up in Tennessee and began making monster masks and crude makeup at the age of 10. He is now based in Atlanta, Georgia, running his own FX house, Toby Sells Creature Makeup FX Shop. It is Atlanta's premier makeup FX shop, specializing in effects for film and television. Toby's services include prosthetic makeup, old age, creatures and gore effects, bullet hit effects, body parts, bodies, animatronic masks, puppets and creature suits, museum displays, and theme park props, among others. So, Toby, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. We are so excited to talk with you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I guess we'll start out right away with, you know, run down this list of all this crazy stuff that you're in charge of making, you and your team. What is your background, and how do you get started in something like this?
The answer I give to that usually is I was a weird little kid.
No.
Well, you know, according to some people, I was. I was fairly artistic. I really don't even call myself an artist now. I'm an artistic person. I say that because a lot of the artists I know throw a toothpaste on a mirror and put it in a gallery and make money off of that, and I don't really consider that art. So
sure that
I'm
going
to say I'm an artistic
Good
person.
Point.
you know, I was, I think around three, I started making things out of Play-Doh, and I remember, you know, this is back in the late 60s, early 70s, when G.I. Joes were actually 12 inches tall, and you know, I had the Kung Fu grip and all that crazy stuff. I would actually take Silly Putty, if you remember that, and you know, make like Frankenstein and different things on my G.I. Joe, and you know, I was kind of a, like I said, a weird kid. Then when I was 10 years old, that was in 1974. It was the Friday night movie. It was CBS. Planet of the Apes aired for the first time on TV, and me and my dad sat down and watched it. I was like, that's it. That's what I'm supposed to do. Huh. And they had a segment afterwards on how John Chambers did the makeup effects on it, and gave me just enough basic knowledge to kind of go, huh. My dad was fairly artistic and you know, pretty intelligent guy, so the next day he took me to a hobby shop and bought me the right kind of clay and plaster and liquid rubber, and a week or so later I had this really bad gorilla mask.
But
that's kind of how it started.
Huh. So now, okay, so how do you go from that to like actually doing it as a living? What do you go to school for? Is it an apprentice sort of thing, or
there are schools, and I'll never just, you know, bash a school, but unfortunately I don't feel like these kids that go to these schools will really get their money's worth. It really is something that you really have to get in your dad's basement and make a lot of mistakes. And the thing about schools, and I'll say this and try not to, you know, bash them, but most of them will let anybody in there. I think there's a certain amount of passion and love for monsters and monster movies that you have to have. It seems like it's a very trendy thing now, almost like trying to be a rock star, and it's the furthest thing from the truth. I'm still waiting on groupies myself. So, it really is something that you just train for. I think the best advice, you know, I could give anybody that wants to do this is, there's a gentleman named Dick Smith. He did the makeup for The Godfather, The Exorcist, got an Academy Award for Amadeus. He offers a course, a correspondence course, basically. We call it the Bible in the industry. That's the way to go, truly. But the way I got to back your question, that's the ADD with a couple extra D's coming out of me there, sorry. The way I got from there to here was a lot of tears, some sweat. you know, it's a lot of hard work. I mean, there's a long story. I can give you the condensed version if you'd like. I met Tom Savini. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not.
No.
He did the makeup effects on Halloween and
okay.
Creepshow. The list goes on. He did the remake of Night of the Living Dead. He directed that. He also acts. If you saw From Dusk Till Dawn, he played the part of Sex Machine, who had the pistol for his private parts.
Oh, okay. I did. It was a long while ago, but I do remember.
I met Tom in 1983 at a Fangoria, which is, you know, a horror magazine, convention in Boston, and showed him my little book of, you know, pictures of things I'd made, and he gave me Dick Smith's phone number and address, and I went home, I wrote Dick Smith a letter, sent him some pictures, and a couple of weeks later, I get those pictures back with red ink all over them. On the back, there are all these notes. you know, telling me what I needed to work on. And eventually I called him with the help of my college girlfriend. I was so nervous I couldn't dial the phone. And, yeah, it was like talking to God Almighty himself, I mean, Dick Smith. And, you know, we struck a friendship, and he's 86 now. He's alive and healthy, and he's still like my grandfather. So he's a super wonderful man, and he, long story short, kind of suggested me for my first job out in Los Angeles.
Wow. Well, I'm sure, like, you kind of hinted that, you know, it's a long road, and we can certainly relate to that, where it's like you get to a certain point and people see where you are now and be like, oh, isn't that cool? Wouldn't that be the greatest job? Or and there's maybe this didn't happen to you, but for us, there's been many times where you kind of laid at bed at night and you're like, am I crazy for trying to, you know, you're just like, what am I doing? And there's just that passion that kind of keeps you going, that then one thing leads to another. Is that can you relate to that? Is that kind of similar to, you know,
ups and downs? Oh, yeah. I actually ended up with a dental degree in dental technology. I was kind of not, I wouldn't say my father by no means didn't support me, but my father was very practical and wanted me to get a real education first, then follow this. So I had a third cousin back in my hometown in Kingsport, Tennessee, who was an oral surgeon, actually really well revered in that particular field, one of the best oral surgeons in the country, and he did all the maxillofacial reconstruction, you know, anything that involved from the chin to the basically below the eye sockets. Okay. I thought maybe I wanted to do that because the whole idea of, you know, doing what I do with the monsters and fake people on a real level was kind of intriguing. So I ended up in pre-dentistry, almost become a dentist, and it just wasn't for me. I mean, I there's nothing wrong with being a dentist. I'm sure I'd be making a lot more money, and you know, but this is what I was supposed to do, and I knew it. So there were definitely crossroads, especially there in college, you know, where it's like, do I do this, or do I take this chance, or do I look at something a little more rock solid with, you know, something in dentistry or medicine? And, It was kind of scary, but I'm glad I took the road I did.
That's good for you. Yeah. It's a great example. We like to have people like you on where you're doing what you love and you got a really cool job, but I think it's also important to point out to people that it's not, you don't just get it overnight, and it takes some courage and persistence and a lot of risk. So it's kind of hard to hear that.
There's a lot of dues to be paid, and I mean, I'm 44, and I've done this since I was 10, and I'm nowhere near where I want to be before I call it quits. So yeah, it's a lot of work. I mean, we're just really starting to get a name for us here on the East Coast. So it definitely, like you say, it doesn't happen overnight. And that back to the schools, that's kind of what some of these schools will tell you, that, you know, you can take this course and go work for Rick Baker or you know, some of these bigger guys out in L.A., which is not always the truth.
Right.
So,
So you joked, Toby, a little bit earlier about being a weird kid. And I'm curious about what is it that fascinates you about monsters and gore and scary things? What is the draw for you?
I think, you know, the gore, which is not actually my most favorite, you know, thing to do. I mean, I'd rather do characters and monsters, things like that. But the gore, for instance, I think the thing that really kind of was a very morbid fascination and a fear was the fact that, you know, none of us want to get hacked up or, you know, we don't want our arms cut off. I think as children we all had, like, nightmares of limbs and appendages getting hacked off and falling off buildings. So, you know, there's a certain realism to it, even though we know it's a movie. So I think that's the big appeal with the gore. I think the monsters, though, I think they're just fun. I mean, you know, it's you can go to the mall and see, you know, an elderly man, and that those are the makeups that we want to do that we, you know, we really like. But it's rare that you're going to go to the mall and see a werewolf sitting there, you know, eating popcorn or something. So I think the monsters are just fun, you know. I think, I don't know, I'm sure if I really sit around, I could come up with some great philosophical thing, but I think they're fun.
Well, that's kind of the thing, your imagination can kind of completely go crazy with it, because there's no real parameters, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say, Toby, is like the coolest thing you've ever made or were a part of making?
Oh, man, there's a bunch of stuff. I mean, we're actually doing some cool stuff right now. And we did a movie that just was released last week. It's called Dance of the Dead. It's actually we're pretty proud of everything we did in that and pretty proud of being a part of the movie. It's getting pretty good accolades.
Great.
But I would say the one thing I can pinpoint that was really, really cool was we did a movie a few years ago. It's a fairly low-budget film. It's out on DVD. It's called Blood Car, and it's about a vegan who found out that he could run a car off of human blood. And that's actually kind of a funny little story. But we did. There was a scene where the lead character cuts his arm with a box cutter, his forearm, and shoves a rubber hose in there to give himself a transfusion.
Okay.
And we actually made a silicone arm for a close-up shot, and the actor actually took the box cutter and cut into the silicone arm.
Uh-huh.
You know, and below that was like basically the equivalent of a silicone balloon, which led to a tube and a pump for blood. So when he sliced it open, it automatically bled.
Wow.
That's a two-part question. The actor actually got kind of sick when he did that.
Oh.
The DP, the camera guy, got pretty queasy.
It was pretty real looking.
That was actually a compliment. But the biggest one, yeah. Alex Orr, who is the writer and director, called me up, and I think it was Texas. I need to find this out. I keep saying that. But I do think it was Texas. A film festival down there, they were playing the movie, and a 16-year-old boy saw that, got up, was running out of the theater and passed out.
Oh.
So to me, that's one of those
mission accomplished,
like, you know,
right?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't an Academy Award-winning movie, but it, you know, as far as what we did, I was like very, very pleased. So that definitely was one of the highlights.
Awesome.
Just the fact that we really fooled somebody.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're gonna have a link to the your MySpace page, and I mean the stuff on there is just it's crazy. I can't believe how you guys can do that. And I mean I'm an artsy guy myself, and never quite good with the three-dimensional sculpture and stuff like that. But it's just cool. I think I'm pretty much speechless of how.
I was going to tell you,
and
not to interrupt
well,
you. I'm sorry, but because I'll forget.
Okay.
The MySpace page that we have is kind of like our temporary website. Our other website, we had actually went down. We got our name domains stolen from us.
Oh,
so we're actually going to have probably into November. We'll have a new website, and the URL on that is simply TobySellsFX, the initials F as in Frank, X as in Xylophone, .com.
Okay,
so
cool.
You can go there and check out everything.
Awesome.
Nice.
So I think one thing that you said earlier that was kind of a good sign in my estimation is that you said you're not even close to where you want to be. I know I can relate to that with different artists that I look up to. Is there an effect that someone else did that you just, like, look at with awe, that you're just kind of like, that is, I don't know how they did that, or that's what I aspire to. Is there one of those kind of Hall of Fame ones for you that you look up to?
Yeah, there's a couple. Yeah, I mentioned Dick Smith before.
Mm-hmm.
He did the movie Amadeus. Mm-hmm. That was out in 85, 86, I believe. And, he got an Oscar for the makeup on that. He did The Old Age on F. Murray Abraham.
Okay.
If you remember The Old Age, what was the name of the character? Solarium, something like that. It's awful.
Okay.
I haven't watched the movie in a while. But definitely check it out. It's one of the most incredible makeups you'll ever see.
Hmm.
Excuse me. I think the other one would be Rick Baker did Click a few years ago with Adam Sandler.
Okay.
I did all those old age makeups on Adam Sandler. And those things are phenomenal also. And, like, that's being done now with silicones. We use a lot of silicones versus foam latex is more of the old hat. But if you look at the makeup that Dick did on Amadeus, it's just as believable as silicone. So those two makeups to me are probably the best that you'll ever see in my book.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, maybe you can or can't tell us the answer to this one, but, like, can you share what you're working on right now?
Indiana Jones 4. No, I'm just kidding. or 5 or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I don't know.
The age makeup for him, huh?
Yeah. Somebody did a good job on this last one, didn't they? Oh, ba-da-bum. We're actually doing a movie about Bigfoot. That's what the world needs is another Bigfoot movie. We think it's probably going to end up on the Sci-Fi Channel. I've not been privy to all the information. So our big joke is it's actually a Bigfoot movie without Lance Henriksen, if you know who he is. He's like in every Bigfoot movie. we're doing a 7-foot-tall Bigfoot suit with an animatronic head. The face that moves, all that fun stuff. A couple of dead body puppets.
How will this compare to Harry and the Hendersons?
that's so funny. The director that we're working with he's from Los Angeles. He's a really, really good kid. His name's Jordan Bloom. I never thought I would say that about directors. Good kid. I'm getting old. I really like this director. He's a cool guy and real easy to work with. But one of the things he said was, we don't want to do a traditional Bigfoot, which in a way was disappointing to me because I'm a big gorilla fan. Gorillas, Planet of the Apes, all that. So we've definitely got a different design on him. He's a little more, thin, feral, a little more streamlined. Much more PO'd than Henry, for sure, or Harry, sorry. Harry, Henry, Hal. He's definitely different. I mean, he's a much more aggressive Bigfoot than you're going to see, because it seems like I just rented a couple of other ones Blockbuster the other day, and they're always big and bulky, and they're really wanting something more streamlined and just something that you would actually be afraid of. It seems like Bigfoot you always want to hug, like a big puppy.
Big overgrown teddy bear, like or something like that.
Yeah. It's fun. We today's 20th. They start shooting in 7 days, so we've got 21 days before we'll be on set. So we're 3 weeks is not a lot of time.
Guys you got working on something like that?
What have I got now? Eight people.
Wow.
Yeah. So it takes a lot of work.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. What would be something that like. Most people who are watching movies or, TV, what would something they'd be surprised to learn about special effects makeup?
I think just what I said is the time. Mm. Even with directors, we'll work with pretty big directors. Sometimes we work on lower, budget films. But we'll work with bigger directors from out in Los Angeles. And a lot of times it'll be their first time that they've actually, used makeup effects to this extent, other than maybe so-and-so's got a black eye or so-and-so gets cut. Now they're wanting this dead body and they're wanting a head that gets chopped off. And they're surprised when it's going to take 4 weeks to make this stuff.
Right.
I think they think we actually have 1-800 body parts or something.
So severed arms.
Yeah. I mean, we keep a lot of things. We have what we call the closet O body parts here in the shop.
That would be so cool to go through.
But, when it comes to, doing a, someone's getting their head chopped off, for instance, you want it to look like the actor, so, we actually bring them in and do the cast and everything. Okay. So, I think, the time, it shocks a lot of people. We're dealing with that on this Bigfoot movie right now. They had actors that weren't cast in the roles on time, and now I'm screaming delays, and I think they're really surprised. It's and the money's the other thing. Halloween's coming up, and it seems like I always have somebody calling me up wanting a Predator suit, and it's like, sure, but this is I needed 8 weeks to 10 weeks to make the thing, and that's going to cost you $100,000, and it's like silence.
Yeah. Is that what was in your budget for your Halloween costume this year?
Right, yeah. So I don't even do Halloween. I like hide. But, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. Just the amount of work that really goes into it. People are really, I think, I don't mean this bad, but, ignorant to that because they've seen behind the scenes on DVDs, and it's like, they can watch in 10 minutes this, bodysuit or puppet or all these series of makeups done in 10 minutes, and they just really don't get the chronological time factor. My wife, when we first got married, was shocked that I was doing a bullet hit for somebody, and you know, I had to sculpt it, mold it, and make so many of them. And she was like, "My God, that little bullet hit took all those days to do." And yeah, it's just part of it. So it's, you sometimes have to educate the directors and producers too.
Mm-hmm. I would think that you've got to have a pretty good understanding of anatomy, which would be another thing that people probably don't think about. I remember being in college in illustration classes, and you know, they talk about some of the Disney movies and you know, Bambi and stuff like that, and you, most people think, oh, it's a cartoon, it's really easy to draw, but the level of understanding that these guys have of how anatomy works in different animals to be able to simplify it to the point where it looks believable is amazing, I think, and that was something that surprised me about stuff like that. And I can only imagine when you're doing these different creatures, you've really got to know, that's part of the realism, is the different anatomy and muscle structure and things like that.
Yeah, even with the, you know, the mythological or fantasy type things, you know, there's just certain laws of nature and physics you kind of have to, you know, think about. I think that's definitely, like I said, I'm not an artist. I just don't like that term for myself. But it's one of the artistic things that I'm constantly trying to improve on is, you know, just the basic anatomy and structure of things. I've got a young man here that's with me now that does sculpting for me. He and I and one other guy usually do all the sculpting. And he's actually a sculpture major at the, I think it's the Art Institute of Atlanta. And this kid's anatomy is just flawless. I mean, I don't want to strangle him. You know, it's like, you're half my age. But he's really, really talented. And yeah, that's definitely something I'm constantly, you know, trying to study. And when I have spare time, you know, do different sculptures of figures and things. The great relief is about 80% of what we do, and it involves a person, we usually just mold them up and reproduce it.
Yeah, how does that work? Especially like when you're bringing in, like you said, you bring in the actors, and what's that process like?
Well, I'll give you an example. I'm actually staring at him right now, and it's so funny. I mentioned Adam Sandler's movie. It's an actor, I think he's from New York originally, but he lives here in Atlanta now, and I cannot pronounce his last name, so I won't even try, but his name is Dan, and he looks so much like Adam Sandler, so I'm literally staring at, it looks like Adam Sandler, decapitated head here. What we did is we brought him in, we do a live cast, that's basically, you know, a mold of their face or their head, and that process is, to make it pretty simple, it's done with the same material that the dentist takes impressions of your teeth with. It's called alginate. The dental alginate sets up in usually 2 minutes. Ours sets up in around 5 to 8 minutes, depending on how warm or cool the water is. And we put a little rubber cap on their head, you know, a bald cap, makes them look bald, protect their hair. And we put the alginate on their face, leave, you know, nose holes for them. We don't use straws. That's a big myth. We just leave little holes there for them to breathe. And then we take plaster bandages. Us old school folks, when we broke our arms as kids, they used plaster on us. Now I think they use fiberglass, but it's the same stuff. It's plaster bandages, and that goes on top of that because the alginate is going to basically look like egg white, boiled egg white when it's done, real rubbery and floppy. So you couldn't do a whole lot with that. So, you know, in order to pour plaster or clay into that life cast to make a reproduction of the face, we have to have, you know, a mold on top of that. So that's what the plaster bandages are for. That takes about 15 minutes. We pop that off, and then we actually use an oil-based modeling clay called Chavant, and you can heat that in an oven, and it literally turns into the consistency of pancake syrup or even a little thinner. And we brush that inside the alginate mold, and we end up with a clay copy of their face. And then we go and we just sculpt the eyelids open, put fake eyes in, and you know, around the neck we have sculpt all this little, you know, viscous tendrils and ripped flesh and stuff, and then from there we'll make a UltraCal mold. UltraCal is like plaster, only it's, well, actually it's more like cement. It's a lot stronger and holds detail better. We'll make a two-piece mold out of that, and then we'll cast it up in silicone, paint it, punch the hair in, and you know, 150 hours later you have decapitated head.
Sounds pretty simple, Toby.
I was gonna say. Well, at least you don't have to worry about giving away your secrets.
It's like... Oh, no, there's no secrets, you know. Other than my price list, that's it.
Yeah,
there's no secrets at all.
That's awesome.
So we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, kind of being in a non-traditional career and kind of the ups and downs. And I remember I read on your site, you know, in your small town, I think you'd said something about a lot of people thought that the kind of the thing to do was to go work for Kodak. And that was like kind of the typical, let's go do that. What was it like to try to break out of that? And what would you say to someone maybe who is, maybe they want to be a special effects person, or maybe they just have another dream, but it's kind of unusual or off the beaten path. Do you have any advice of what to say to them going against the norm like that?
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a whole radio show there. Yeah, I grew up in Kingsport, Tennessee, in the, I don't know what the population was, somewhere around 60 to 70,000 people. Not a huge town, but the industry that basically keeps that town going is the Tennessee Eastman Company. At that time, it was a Kodak company. Now it's just the Tennessee Eastman. They made a lot of chemicals for, you know, the photography industry and textiles and stuff. And, you know, majority of everybody in Kingsport and the surrounding cities, you know, are employees there. And there's nothing wrong with working there. My mom just retired a few years ago. You know, that was my dad's main client. He was a scientific glass blower, made all the laboratory equipment and stuff. So there's definitely nothing wrong with it. But, I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes deep in your heart what you're supposed to do. And it wasn't that. And, you know, I definitely... You know, growing up in the South, the Bible Belt, you know, growing up in church, you know, had a pretty straight-laced middle-class family, you know, and here's this little creepy kid wanting to make dead things and monsters and demons, and of course, you know, you're getting the church lady from Saturday Night Live on Sunday morning telling me that I'm going to go to hell, and I'll never forget, I think I was like 12 or 13, and I got this whole speech from this, I'm sure she's gone on, God rest her soul, this little church lady who was just pissed off because I was making monsters and telling me how evil I was, and my rebuttal was, do you watch soap operas? And she's like, yeah. I was like, I would say all 10 commandments are broken in what, the first 15 minutes?
That's a good answer.
Nothing else was ever said, you know, and it's that was definitely something I dealt with, you know, from a few distant relatives. I mean, my immediate family was very supportive, but yeah, I was kind of, you know, it's like, don't play with that sales kid, you know, because kids are going home with horns glued to their head and bleeding, and, you know, dragging around decapitated heads and bodies, and, you know, I was like you don't want to play with that kid. So, you know, I never was really looked down upon, but I'll never forget, you know, I was just recently on Dirty Jobs this last year. And it was amazing, all the people that were the big naysayers, you know, calling me and emailing me, like, I knew you could do it. And it's like,
oh, yeah, right. Man.
But I have to be on Dirty Jobs to be considered finally making it.
Yeah.
Wow. Overnight sensation that you are.
Yeah. Yes. It was really amazing. I was just getting messages from people, you know, this is so-and-so. We went to Central High School together.
Oh,
and it's like, okay, you didn't want to talk to me for the last 20 years. What's up?
Yeah. So what is something that, you know, you've said you've paid your dues, but you still got a long career ahead of you. What's something that you haven't accomplished yet but would like to?
Oh, wow. Well, let's see. I mean, we've got 8 big movies contracted right now, and it's like the carrot dangling on the string in front of the rabbit, you know. It's with the economy kind of being in a slump and... Then we had a writer strike this past year that kind of slowed things down. Mm-hmm. Definitely the first half of this year was just a bad year for us. So we're, my shop's actually in my basement right now in my home, which is, it's a nice little shop. A little the key word, though. You know, when we've got 8 people in here working, it gets pretty crowded.
Yeah.
So definitely one of my main goals is to get out of the shop back into a warehouse facility, which I'd had before I bought the house, but I want to be able to really stay there, you know. So any of these 8 movies will, you know, allow us to be able to do that. So it's definitely my goal to have a permanent, you know, at least 3,000 to 4,000 square foot warehouse. I'd like to have just back to back movies. I basically want to be able to do on the East Coast what's going on with my friends on the West Coast. I mean, that's my basic goal is I want to... There's a lot of people on the East Coast that do this, but there's not many shops, so to speak. There's a lot of people who just kind of go from movie to movie. So I guess I want to be the big dog on the East Coast. That's my goal. You know.
Very cool.
Sounds like you're heading in that direction, that's for sure.
Well, we hope so.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's awesome. So I know you mentioned Halloween and how you kind of hide, which is funny. But what you know, obviously you've got to be a movie buff. I mean, just research alone. So what would you recommend to our listeners as like, you know, what movie would you recommend to watch on Halloween this year?
Oh, let's see. Well, I'm definitely going to make a plug for Dance of the Dead.
Yeah.
It's actually Dance of the Dead is kind of a comedy / horror. If I could sum it up in two movies, I would say Shaun of the Dead meets American Pie.
Okay. So, wow.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's I won't divulge the budget. Boy, it's been a long day. The budget, but it was fairly low budget, and the movie looks like we spent $10 million on it. I mean, it's incredible, the quality. The director, Greg Bishop, very talented guy, great DP, you know, photographer, actors were awesome. So there's my plug. Definitely rent Dance of the Dead. Now, that being said, there's a list. I mean, there's like 80 things. Feast 2 just came out. That was a fun movie. What else? If you hadn't seen The Ruins, which came out, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago.
Right, okay.
I think that was actually a cool movie. I mean, basically... Gosh, I guess if I could call it a classic, it would be, I really love Bram Stoker's Dracula. I think that was just an excellent movie. I mean, I like all the, you know, The Ring and all that wonderful stuff, too. You know, I'm really not that critical. All my friends are like, oh, I saw so-and-so, and it was such a bad movie, and I'm like, I liked it. You know, if it's fun, I like it. You know, I'm not expecting, you know, Academy Award winning performances out of every horror thriller out
right.
there.
Take it for what it is. Does your wife share your love of movies like that? Do you guys watch them together?
It's so funny. My wife is Portuguese. Back. She's from Europe, so
okay.
She's been here 5 years, so I think a shocker.
know,
I was the first guy she dated when she moved here and ended up marrying this guy who makes monsters. So she must tolerate me though. She's my biggest fan and my number one supporter. And she actually keeps me grounded too. I mean, you know, she worked in accounting for Brazilian Airlines over in Germany for 14 years. So, you know, I'm like the world's worst with money. So she actually does the books and takes care of all that. But you know, I mean, she likes more thrillers than she does the horror movies. But I've noticed in the last several years, she's kind of succumbed to the dark side.
Expanded her horizons, huh?
Yeah. Of course, I have to, for every blood and guts or monster movie, I have to watch 2 chick flicks. So, you know.
Wow, that's how it goes.
Smart woman.
Yeah.
All right, Toby. Well, we just want to thank you again for taking the time with us. This has been pleasure for us.
Yeah, it's a blast.
Oh, it's a pleasure for me. Thank you.
A good time, and just wish you the best of luck, and good luck with those 8 movies, and all the success in the world to you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and thanks for having me.
Take care.
Bye,
all right.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Hi, neighbor. How are you doing?
Join the club. We've got jackets.
You may have noticed a new bumper there for the member spotlight section.
With one of my favorite people in the world. Not
Shrek.
Austin Powers.
Shrek. That's Shrek, actually.
Oh, is it Shrek?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But Mike
Same
Myers.
Same guy.
Right
yeah.
on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is the section where we highlight some members, some of the emails and things we got. First off, a little thank you to Jillian Gaudio.
Yes.
She made a little comment to the recent Adultitis Relief Brief, where I drew a few Halloween characters.
Yeah, spooky.
Yeah, things like you kind of demonstrated so that you out there can also draw
some fun Halloween friends.
Right.
So she saw that, and she sent along, she said, great drawings. Using your example, I drew the mummy, Frankenstein, and witch, and paired them with three jokes. So with the mummy, it says, why was the mummy so tense? He was all wound up. Who did Frankenstein take to the dance? His ghoul friend.
Oh, girlfriend.
What do you call a witch that lives at the beach? A sandwich.
Oh.
So she paired these little sayings with the characters, and she said, I made a Halloween card for my grandma using these, and I know she's going to love it. So there you go.
That's awesome, Jillian.
It's very, very cool. Now, another thing I wanted to point out, last week we had a Thursday giveaway, as we always do.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's open to anyone, that Club KJ or not, but I noticed there was a little thread going on between a few Club KJ members.
Okay.
I wanted to point out Ryan Culbertson sent in. He said, I know I already posted, but I just remembered one of my most favorite games. Because that was the question. What is your most all-time favorite board game, I believe?
Okay.
He said, it's not one played as a child, but it is very childlike. It's called Embarrass the Teenager. You see, the day our daughter turned 13, she started to become aware of her, quote, coolness.
Mm.
Whenever we are in public, the game is afoot. The rules are broad and somewhat ambiguous, but I assure you, as you will find out in a few years, this is one time-honored game that can be passed from generation to generation. And so a little bit later on in the comment thread, Stephen Saki, who is also a Club KJ member, said, Cubby, which is what Ryan posts at, my parents became masters at Embarrass the Teenager. They got lots of practice on Embarrass the Preteen, too. Since my parents were missionaries, we would go around to churches when we were in the U.S. and share about our ministry in the Philippines. My parents, especially my dad, loved telling embarrassing stories about me in front of large audiences.
Aww.
I think it was mainly because I turned bright red. He has since promised not to do that anymore, but I'm still amused remembering it, Stephen.
Hmm.
So that was pretty cool. I think that was kind of neat to... I think it's a good game, Embarrass the Teenager. My parents really did that well, and I don't think they were trying.
but what fun you can have if you do try.
Yes. If you really put your mind to it, I'm sure you can really set records in that game, and much to the chagrin of your teenager.
You know, it's a good example of not taking ourselves too seriously, because I don't know about you, but like sometimes I've noticed... teenagers do. They are so embarrassed.
It's pretty much.
This is your parents. Like, this is how they are. They're goofy.
It's kind of good practice for the real world,
right.
I would say.
You know,
that you need to take yourself down a notch, because the real world, it's going to be awfully hard to take yourself too seriously.
And if you're that worried about what other people think about you, it's going to be a long life.
That's right. So take the time, you guys. We always love to get your emails. Any phone calls you might want to send along. Share what you think about this interview today.
Talking with
Toby. What did you think? Any comments on that?
Yeah, and if you have anything to say, we'd love to hear it. So just send us an email at podcast@kimandjason.com, or you can always give us a call at 608-554-0803.
Welcome to kimandjason.com.
Here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Well, the big, I suppose, words here is baby showers.
Yes.
We're finally done. We've had three of three baby showers completed this weekend.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I had no idea that such a small being would require such... an amazing amount of crap.
It's not all crap, but there's a lot of crap.
it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like little Donald Trump. With all, you know, it's a ditty with all of his little accessories that he's got to bring with him everywhere, or her. We don't know. We don't know if it's a boy or girl yet.
I will say, though, we've really, really worked hard trying to be minimalistic.
Yep.
And... for that being said, we still have a lot of stuff. So I can't imagine the people who aren't in that mindset.
Especially, I mean, we've been cleaning up our place to make room for this stuff. And I mean, I threw a lot of stuff of my own out. And then here comes all of the stuff back in the house for this little tiny being. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem fair, but we've got some really good stuff. We had a lot of generous friends and family.
Definitely. And a lot of fun. Played a lot of fun games, which Jason, you know, didn't attend any of them. So
thank God for small miracles. Tell him about the diaper story. Yeah. I'm sure many people out there have done this game, but if you haven't, this is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, basically, you take diapers and you melt different types of candy bars and put them inside the diapers and pass the diapers around. And then everyone
I didn't know they were melted. That's interesting.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't know that.
That would be easy.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Didn't really think that through.
Okay, so then you, for instance, one of them, I'm looking at it, and it's like this melted blob of brown in the diaper, and you, of course, have to smell it because you're trying to guess what kind of candy bar it is, and you're trying to get the most. Well, this one has like this light brown, just like weird substance in it. Well, it's a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Ah, okay.
See what that would do?
Gotcha, yeah,
but it brings some added grossness because you're like, what is this?
The best part, is you got these pictures of these women all huddled around a diaper with their faces right in it, which is
and everyone's classic. Face is so serious, like, what is that? You know? So it is classic. Another fun game that we played yesterday was where they measured my stomach with string, and then everyone had to cut string that they thought, you know, would be the same length or close to the length of my stomach, or the length of my stomach.
Circumference.
I suppose, yes. Yeah. And my niece, who's six, or our niece, who's six, Abby, cut hers, and
it's about a foot long.
Yeah. No joke.
It's quite complimentary, I would say.
Yeah, so it was fun. And it's then good. One of my aunts did about double the size of mine, so she apologized about 100 times after that.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that, I think. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though, which is pretty cool. We've talked about this. And for those of you listening right now, other than friends and best friends and immediate family, you are going to be the first ones to know about this kid when it comes, whether it's a boy or a girl.
And the name is. And a picture.
So we're going to do a video, and it's going to be in the clubhouse, and all the other people who are not in Club K&J are just going to have to wait their precious little time, but you guys will get the first heads up, so stay tuned for that, because we're getting close to a month out here. So.
Yes, the inside track.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts, the Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
We hope you'll really like.
That is so cool.
Oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Our cool thing for this month is one of the new products we've added. It's basically what we've done is we've taken some iPod earbuds and we've put them into our it's pretty highly technical. It's our Way Big machine.
Is that like the opposite of Honey, I Shrunk the Kid machine?
Yeah, it's like Honey, I Blew Up the Kids.
Oh, that was
Honey,
a movie.
Honey, I Blew Up the iPod earbuds.
Okay.
Basically, we've taken them, and they're giant. And they serve as great desktop speakers.
Ah.
And they're pretty cool. You can plug them into your USB port, or you can even plug them into the wall if you have a power source to go with it. So if you are an audiophile, or if you like to, like, freak people out, you know, if you put those on your desk, people might think they're like shrinking, perhaps. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a pretty fun little gadget. So we've decided that would be our cool thing of the month.
That is quite cool. And I don't know about you, but something very childlike is when you take something and make it a different size.
Yeah, either really big or really small. Very childlike.
Something very childlike about that.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, you should never, never doubt what nobody is sure about.
Well, we got the answer for the mind bender here.
Oh, I'm confident.
You're confident. You said the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're kind of off. San Francisco Giants haven't even been in San Francisco for very long. But
have they won any World Series?
Do you want to share the trick that you did to trick me that you shared off?
I don't really care to, but I was thinking San Francisco, but all I could think of was 49ers, so that's why I asked you what the teams were in California.
Okay.
I'm not a big sports fan.
This is true. This is unfair. But I picked it because we're about to start the World Series,
sure.
So that it was appropriate. And maybe I'm sure there's listeners out there who love the
baseball watching it. And now I have to point out, there's a shout out. The San Francisco Giants is, I know Judy Irene is a big fan.
Oh, yes.
Of that Club KJ member.
Maybe I was channeling Judy.
That could be.
I don't know. Judy, we'll see.
So the Yankees, of course, have won 26 world champions. Second place is the arch rival of the Cubs, the St. Louis Cardinals, have 10 championships to their name. So there you go, 10 championships for the St. Louis Cardinals as of 2006.
I have to say that I grew up not only taught to love the Cubs, but to hate the Cardinals.
No, there you go. Same with me. So, yeah. But they're the winners. So,
no one's
gonna
call
us the lovable losers.
What's up, Doc? Now, this won't hurt a bit.
So the prescription for this week is to get in the Halloween spirit and rent a scary movie to watch with some friends. I don't know if this is actually medically valid, but I'm going to say that actually being scared is a good way to have fun and relieve stress.
Yeah.
Think about like going on a roller coaster. You go up and down and you're like terrified, but when you get done, you're completely like feel alive again, you know? So that there you go. I mean, Toby gave us a long list of some good ones.
New ones, classics.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. Just pick something, you know, put the kids to bed, have some friends over, get into the spirit, and freak yourselves out.
Well, that's it for this show. Be sure to check out the Clubhouse for today's show notes, featuring links to some of the things we talked about here today. For Jason, this is Kim, signing off from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening, and remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.